right, we'll start the next order then. And I believe that is the Zoroastra.
The etymology of the name.
What's that?
The name Zor, meaning purely and after a wingless.
Yeah. Again, when these...
Those are clearly wings, though.
Well, I know. That's what I was going to say. When this order was named, no winged individuals were known. They thought they all were unwinged. And and they thought that was a character of the order, is that they were wingless. And then after they named it and all that, then winged individuals were discovered. So I think I talked about this order a little bit yesterday. This is the one that some people, at least at one time, thought might not be an orthopteroid order, that it might belong in the hemipteroid orders. And it's the one that I talked about. My graduate student was trying to find some winged individuals to look at and see if they had wing coupling devices more like the hemipteroids. And we never did get any really good winged individuals, and so I kind of gave up on it. But there's been studies now, and even some of the molecular studies now place these things in the orthopteroid order, so it's probably this is where it goes. And truthfully, these things are dead ringers for termites. At least the wingless forms look a lot like termites. As you've already noticed, the order name means purely wingless. Refers to the fact when they were first described around 1913, only wingless forms were known, and they thought that was a diagnostic character. It's one of the smaller orders. There's only about 33 species known, and 5 fossil species. There's only 3 species in the United States. One's in Florida and Jamaica, another one's out in Hawaii, and then there's one that's a little bit more widespread throughout the southeastern U.S. Again, I remember collecting one specimen of one of these, and it was in an old dead pine log. And I don't know, I probably still have it someplace, but until recently, there was only thought to be one family, and it was called the Zorotipidae. And they all thought there was only one genus, Zorotipus. But now, I believe it's a Canadian woman. And it's been a while back. It's not real recent, but there's a woman. Her name is Kukalova Peck. I don't know if you've ever heard of Kukalova Peck. She's done a lot of stuff with some fossil things and a lot of work kind of on the theory of how wings evolved in insects. And you know, didn't even really talk about that earlier on, how there might have been lobes on the, almost like the flying squirrel type thing, lobes on the pronotum or on the thoracic segments, and some insects might have been able to glide, you know, I don't know. But anyway, she did a lot of studies on the Zoroastrians also, and now there's several families, more genera. In fact, now our species in the U.S. is no longer in the Zorotipus. They actually named it for the USA. They now call it Usatipus. I know it's Usa something. Usa Zoros. USA Zoros. Our species is still Hubbardi. Is it on there? Yeah. So used to be Zorotipus Hubbardi. Now it's Usazorus Hubbardi. Um, the characters, I think, are outlined fairly well on your synopsis sheet. They're fairly small, I mean really small, 3 millimeters in length. They're soft-bodied insects resembling termites. They are hyponathous with chewing mouth parts. Winged forms have eyes and ocelli, both of which are lacking in the non-winged forms. The antennae are 9-segmented and are maniliform or filiform. The legs are relatively short with just 2 tarsal segments and a pair of tarsal claws. Like I said, they resemble termites. To me, they're slightly different color. I forget now which is which. One of them is almost pure white and the other one's more of an off-white color. But termites, the winged forms, both wings are about the same size and shape. And so here you can see the hind wings are smaller than the front wings. So the wings are a different size in this group. And then also, and this is not as easy as it might think, but the non-winged forms have a 1-segmented cerci with a bristle coming out of it. The end. So 1-segmented cerci with a bristle coming out of it. And we'll see in the termites that its cerci are very small too, 1 or 2 segmented. And doesn't have the, but I don't think they have the bristle, so they're a little bit different. Again, this order is widely distributed in the wet tropics. Species are known from all major zoogeographical regions of the world, except for the pale Arctic. In North America, they occur in the southeast, but it can be found as far north as like Pennsylvania or Iowa. Again, they're sometimes found in sawdust piles where the heat from the sun helps warm things up. These are probably not truly social. When we get to the termites, we'll talk about their social structure in that. So these don't really form a social community. They're often distributed by wind. Wind blows them out. That's how they get dispersed. We think they feed on fungi and small dead arthropods. Again, the non-winged forms are much more common than the winged forms. The winged individuals tend to be more sclerotized. So the non-winged ones are white and soft-bodied looking, whereas the winged forms are a little bit darker in color and more sclerotized. Winged forms can also, after they've flown or used their wings, got where they want to go, they can shed their wings. And we'll see that and talk about that more when we get to the termites also. But after they have their mating swarms, they also shed their wings. And last little things, my notes say they sometimes have little courtship dances when they're getting ready to mate. So
the term deallated on the morphology sheets, that mean, does that just refer to them shedding their wings?
Yeah, I don't know about too much about how it's done in the Zoraptera. It may be similar as in the termites. Again, we'll talk about it probably tomorrow. We're out of time for today. The termites are next. But winged forms of termites, they have a little fracture area or a weakened line near the base of their wings. And so once they're done with their mating flights and that, then they can, I don't know if they reach around there with their head or whatever, but they can break their wings off. It just breaks along that weakened fracture line. It just leaves a little stub left, which in termites they call it a scale. And actually that that scale, the length of it can be diagnostic in some families. Again, we'll talk about that next time on the termites and that. But and I, so again, I don't know if it's the same in this group or not, but that's how it's done in the termites. So. De-alate is winged, is a name for a wing form. So de-alate means it's they become de-alated, mm-hmm. So they're no longer a...
Is that kind of like the hippopotamuses? Like the heads, when they finally reach their food source, they kind of just... their wings?
I would have to look into that. I somehow thought they just had winged individuals and non-winged individuals. And I don't know if they lose their, they can lose their wings or not.
Yeah, I think so. It's they finally find their food source and they decide to stay there and lose their wings.
And I mean, again, I'll check on that. But and there are things that do that. There's Well, when we get to the holometabolous groups, there's, especially in the immature forms, the first few instars will be very active crawling scales. The first instars are very active moving insects, and then they find their food source. Well, the males anyway, but there's a number of things that are, the first instars are active moving, and then when they find their food source, they next molt, they lose their legs and their ability to move. They're happy where they are, and so. And so, like I said, that'll be a good place to stop today. Again, we start the Isoptera, which would take a while. So again, it'd be a matter of keeping you after for a half an hour or so. So it's a good, another good stopping point. So we'll stop.